Matthew chapter number 2. And it's good to have the Shower Vows with us this morning. And they have a new addition to their family. We're so happy for them. Eden Grace, where is she at? I know she wasn't dropped off in the nursery, not for at least 6 months, especially on the first one. The second one, you'll start dropping him or her off the first week, you know. But congratulations to them. And changes your life, doesn't it, parents? Have those little ones. What a wonderful thing. Matthew chapter number 2, verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the house in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to talk about saving Christmas. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for the greatest story ever told, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to earth, being born of a virgin, living a perfect, sinless life, to be the perfect ransom, be the perfect Savior, to save us from our sins. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful story. We thank you for this time of year that we get to celebrate you coming to earth. Emmanuel, God with us. We praise you for that. We thank you for all that we've got to sing and participate in hearing others sing and ministering to us in song. We thank you for that. Now, Lord, we pray that you would bless your word, illuminate it in our hearts. I pray that you would give us a firm grasp and an understanding of your word this morning. I pray that you would use me to just speak to hearts. I pray that the Holy Spirit would open up our minds and our hearts to whatever our need is, whether it's for salvation, receiving you as Savior, or as it's just to help us to be aware of the robbers out there, the thieves that would want to take Christmas from us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. It's a wonderful story of wise men. And I almost said three wise men. But we really don't know that. I guess a long time ago, tradition used to be that there was a dozen wise men, and then somehow it got down to three, and of course, probably whoever wrote the song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are," you know, they had to, I don't know if "We 12 Kings" would really rhyme as good as "Three Kings." But I think it has something to do with the three gifts that these wise men brought from afar. Man, last night, he told me as we sang to them in the nursing home, we did sing "We Three Kings of Orient Are." And he told me that the three kings, actually, the wise men, they came from Italy. I said, "Oh, really? I heard more good theology yesterday." I don't know where Brother Corey is. We had a guy telling us something about Cain and Abel that, man, I never heard before. But that must have been a good movie. I tell you what. But he told me these wise men came from Italy, and I was thinking, man, that is a long trip from Italy all the way east, all the way around the world, back to Israel. You know geography a little bit. Italy's actually to the west. But these men are from the east and most likely Babylon, and they were from the land of Media, and you understand the empire of the Medes and the Persians. They would have dated back to Daniel's day. And during Daniel's day, Israel was held in captivity in Babylon, and God uses hard times, God uses hard circumstances, and God uses times when he disciplines his children and he chastens his children. If you call yourself a Christian and you do wrong, God is going to chasten you so that you might learn a lesson, then all those that are around you to learn a lesson as well. And that's what God did in Israel, but they had Christians there, some godly men. Daniel, the prophet Daniel, was in Israel, one of the greatest prophets who wrote the revelation of the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, and it did tell about a king that would come, a king that would be born. These wise men who understood Scripture most likely didn't have the prophet Micah, because Micah tells exactly where the child was to be born. In a simple inquiry, Herod to his scribes, where is the king of the Jews going to be born? They knew offhand that he was going to be born in the little town of Bethlehem. These wise men came from afar. They came on a journey. One thing you know about a journey taking a long travel, it costs you two things. It costs you time, and it costs you money. These people about serious about their journey. They were serious about their pilgrimage. And, you know, I appreciate people. I love reading biographies. And if I read even a secular biography, you know, it inspires me what drives people. I think if you're going to live life, you ought to live it to the fullest. I don't think you need to go around trying to make a name for yourself, but if God puts something in your heart to do, boy, you better do it. And so these men, they were seeking the truth. They were trying to find the Messiah. I think of Paul right before he goes into Corinth, and he just suffered things, and we call this the Macedonian call, where he had a dream, and a man in the dream said, come to us. These were truth seekers in the town calling out, saying, we need someone to show us and point us the way to the Savior. I think about the man who was laying next to the pool of Bethesda, and when asked by our Lord, why don't you go down in the pool and be healed? He said, I have no man. You know, there's a lot of men and women that live close by, that live in our neighborhood, that live in Black River, Watertown, Fort Drum, that have no one to point them to the Savior. And they, like the wise men, they spend much effort, much time, much toil, trying to find the truth. And God puts something in man's heart. It says the wise men worshiped. And by default, you are worshiping something. Something that you think that you're going to get the answer and the meaning in life. It's whatever you bow down to, whatever you give yourself service to. And there's people that are looking for a meaningful worship in their life. People will go to great ends to try to find favor in their soul. Somebody told me, I was Brother Dan, said that they have a documentary on Martin Luther on PBS. Here, they probably will show it again. But Martin Luther is one of these men, if you read his story. He was supposed to be a lawyer, and he was going back to his father's house one night. Of course, his father wanted him to be the lawyer, and so he's going to law school, and he was coming back to his father's one night, got caught in a thunderstorm, and thought for sure he was going to die, and he made this promise to God that if you will let me live, I will be a monk. I'm sure God appreciated the sincerity. But obviously that was the wrong choice. And he will tell you that laying on cold beds and walking and praying on your knees and confessing your sins for an hour and 2 hours and 3 hours and more, you will find no peace and no satisfaction in your heart. He could not get the answer that he desired from the Roman Catholic Church. The most disenchanting journey he ever made in his life is when he went into the holy city and he saw the wicked lifestyles of the men who were supposed to be holy and were supposed to be his priests unto God for him. coming back from Rome disheartened. He was teaching in a university, and a weird thing was that they told him to study the Bible. Fortunately, the man came across the verse in Romans that says, "The just shall live by his faith." The just shall live by faith. Martin Luther was born again, started a reformation because he had a guiding star for him to show him the path of truth. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in a person. Faith not in a church. Faith not in his own good works. Faith not being a monk. But faith in the work, in the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He, like unto wise men, were searching after the Lord, but he needed the right person to ask. It's amazing, you know, I think it's human nature. But we think a lot of times that those who have money and those who have the power must have the right answers as well. Quick look at history, you'd realize that that is not always the case, is it? There's many evangelicals, even in, back in the 1930s, back in Germany, who looked to a man named Hitler as their deliverer, as their Messiah. He must be right. He must have the answers. So interestingly enough, these wise men come from the east. They follow a star, but the star is not shining anymore. So where should we go? We should go to this man, Herod. They call him Herod the Great, so he must be great. He must have the answers, and we should go to him and ask him for help on our spiritual quest and on our spiritual journey. Well, history tells us a little bit about Herod. They say it would be better to be one of Herod's hogs than his sons. Killed all his sons, killed his wives. And at this point in his life, he has probably been reigning for 30 years, that he was going crazy from a social disease. He was a very feared man. Why don't you notice something in this story, that a lot of times Herod gets portrayed as the only bad person in this story. Why don't you look at something, and I want you to point something out in Scripture that's just amazing to me. Look at this. It says here, verse number 3, "And Herod, the king, had heard these things. He was troubled." Okay. "And all Jerusalem with him." So Herod, we know, is evil. Herod's in power, and he's no idiot. He knows that there can't be two kings in the land. No man can serve two masters. You cannot serve Herod, and you cannot serve the Messiah at the same time. And so if there is born a king, that he is going to be a lord, that he is going to be a ruler, that he is going to be people who people worship, that means that he is going to lose out on his power. And so we understand this evil man wanting to find and destroy the Messiah, but it says all of Jerusalem. Now Jerusalem in that day and age are the people that held power, the scribes, the Pharisees, the rulers, the religious crowd, the educational crowd, the secular crowd. They all wanted to stamp out this threat of a coming Messiah. We have a day and age where people look to human government for all their needs met. They'd just as soon pray to the president or the Congress to meet their earthly needs as they would to pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not true? Government is the Savior. Let me tell you, this nation was founded, is understood only to last as that we have a moral people who would be morally responsible to God. Self-governance. How come nothing's ever my fault? We live in a society, turn on the news, and you'll see one group of people blaming another group of people and looking to the government for the answers. We have people that, witness to people, I'm sure you've never heard this before, but they'll say, "Well, I don't believe in the Bible. I believe in science." Well, you can't believe in both, you know. Can you explain that to me? And the truth is that they have trusted an educational system. Did you know that we have a godless educational system? I encourage you to watch a documentary, not by a Christian man, what's his name? What's that Jewish fella, the dry eyes guy? Ben Stein. It's called No Intelligence Allowed. He talks about all these professors that when they come to a conclusion, let's say they're trying to study the origin of the earth or trying to explain DNA or where life came from. Let me ask you a question. Let's say you believe in evolution. Where'd life come from? When have you ever seen life come from something non-living? Explain that one to me. Okay, we can go back billions and billions and trillions and whatever comes after trillions of years, and somehow an amoeba formed, right? Where that? How did an amoeba, a life, come out of a rock? And so essentially, you would boil the educational system down. Let me explain it very simply for you this morning. They believe in the beginning a rock, okay? And we're crazy because we believe in the beginning God. Well, I want to tell you, there's thousands of people in darkness that, man, they might have given their lives to study at the feet of the educational system to get some sort of a meaning and an understanding for life. And they say, can you please help us find what we are looking for? And they look there. And, of course, this time of year, boy, they're always talking about the economy this time. The economy's doing great, right? I'm sure all of you have stuff, but I think the stock market down about 500 points or something like that. I don't know. I haven't followed it lately. But anyway, man, this time of year is a secular just paradise for all these retailers. And they say, you know, if you have a brand new Lexus with a bow on it in your driveway, man, that is going to be the Christmas of a lifetime. If you get this new, you know, they have a PlayStation 4 coming out. How many knew that? Guess where they opened it up at? In China. I read that. I guess they're better consumers than we are. But anyway, man, if you have a PlayStation 4, kids, adult, and I'm talking to you adults when I say kids, you will have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas time. And so the secular world also says, hey, we will help you. Now see, Herod and the gang there, they were deceitful. He said, let us help you find this Christ child. They also not only were deceitful, they had a deviant plan. Look at verse number 16 of Matthew chapter number 2. And it says, and Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under. You know what the Bible says, folks? It says, beware when all men love you. Beware when all men say good things of you, for so said they of the false prophets. You know, the Bible says about all they that live godly in Christ Jesus, it says, shall suffer persecution. It doesn't say you might, maybe, perhaps. It says you shall suffer persecution. Jesus said, if you follow me, he says, the disciple is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, so shall they persecute you. Do you know that there is a whole world out there that the Bible, John, it says that there are many antichrists coming into the world. You know what antichrist means? It means against, yes, or it means in place of, instead of. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of things, there is a whole culture that wants to take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this day and age, they wanted to stamp out any truth. They wanted to stamp out anything that was against the light or against people following after the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, this has been going on for a long time, by the way. Wednesday night, we were studying through the Bible, and let's see, the first martyr in the Bible was killed by the firstborn man, born to a man and a woman that ever lived. Cain slew Abel. And you know how long Cain hated his brother? As long as he was able. And Cain slew Abel. And this goes on and on and on. This goes all the way through Scripture that there is an adversity. There is an adversary to the truth. And I'm telling, I'm here to give notice to you this morning that there is a lot of Herods in this world. They want to stamp out the name of Christ and also want to replace the name of Christ. The educational system says, we can help you reach the truth. We can reform you. We can give you what you really need. And what you really need is an education. And the government comes in and says, we can make your life happy. We can make your life peaceful. We can make everything good. And please come to us. Please worship us. And the secular world, the world of things says, hey, if you have this, if you have this, and if you have this, you are good. And a lot of people, we said last week, they say, well, this year is not going to be a good Christmas. What do they mean? We don't have a lot of this year, and this is what makes Christmas good. So there's a lot of Herods out there in the world trying to steal Christmas. Not only were they deceitful, not only did they have a deviant plan, they had a deep problem. And here was the problem that they had. As soon as they left Herod, it says the star shone again over the place where the Lord lay. Look at verse number 8. And he sent them. Herod found out very easily where the Christ child was going to be born. Verse number 8, and it says, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And there they had opened their treasures. They presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They rejoiced exceedingly when they saw the star. And when they went and they saw the Lord Jesus, they gave him three different gifts. And you can read this from the hymn. This is actually in the hymn. I didn't have to do a lot of bookwork to figure this out. But gold I bring. I'm not going to sing it to you. But gold I bring, something about to him is a king. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ is? He's a King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the sovereign of all sovereigns. He is the ruler and reigner of all the earth. You see what's going on right now in your life? You have an opportunity, and God gave you a will that you could bow your knee down to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you are my Lord. I submit myself to your lordship in my life. You are my king. Someday, after you breathe your last breath, you won't have that choice anymore. That you, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. At that point, you will have no choice to admit him as your personal Savior. Another thing that they brought to him is they brought myrrh into the Lord Jesus Christ. Frankincense. Frankincense they brought in, and frankincense is an incense. And this would point to his priestly work. Do you know there's only... You know, the Bible says we're priests and kings unto God. Did you know I'm a priest this morning? You see, you don't have your collar on backwards. And I'm married. Yes, I am married too. But you know what the Bible says? That we are priests and kings unto God. You know, the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. This church can't get you saved. Church is only a saved, baptized group who voluntarily join themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. We can't get you saved. We don't have the keys to the kingdom. There's only one person that you can go to on your behalf before God, and that is the great high priest of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, after he sacrificed himself for us on the cross, he went into the Holy of Holies by his eternal spirit and offered up for us his blood on the altar. altar. There's only one name, the Bible says, given among men whereby we must be saved. I am, Jesus said, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the high priest who mediates to God on your behalf. He is the only one that is worthy. They offered up incense to their priest, their high priest. Another thing they offered up to him was myrrh. And when the Lord Jesus died on the cross and they wrapped his body, they paced him, and you look at the weight there, it's about 400 pounds of ointment and clothing, which really debunks the swoon theory. I don't know if you ever heard of that, where Jesus kind of passed out on the cross and then he revived and he was in the cold, damp atmosphere of the tomb, you know. That's hard to do when you got 400 pounds of stuff on you, you know. And they wrapped his body in myrrh. There's only one sacrifice for sins. And we didn't pass it around this morning when we passed the offering plate. Okay? You can't give enough to get to heaven. There's only one thing that can purchase you, and that's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If you had all the gold in the world, you couldn't buy one drop of that. Couldn't buy one drop of the Lord Jesus Christ's blood. And if you had all the good works, if you were as good as Mother Teresa and better, you could not purchase one drop of the Lord Jesus Christ's blood. That was the perfect sacrifice for your sins. We're going to talk this afternoon about the gift. Unto you is given. And it says to the shepherds, unto you is given this day. The Lord Jesus Christ was God's love gift to you. And God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That sacrifice for sins on the cross is the only thing that can save you. It's the only thing that can take you to heaven when you die. 13 years ago, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior as a 22-year-old man. You know, my life has been different ever since. And we sing this morning, we sing to the Lord Jesus Christ, not because we're trying to get to heaven, not because we're trying to please him so we don't get cast out. We're singing to him this morning because we have a Savior who has paid all the price for us. The wonderful thing about Christianity is we get to serve the Lord not because we're trying to earn anything, but because we love him so much. Hereby we perceive the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. These men came, they found, and they worshiped the Son of God. And he is worthy of our worship this morning. Last thing is, Herod had a deep problem. He had a shining star. I want you to turn to one verse and we're done. Look at Daniel chapter number 12. These men, it doesn't say in the Bible, but almost undoubtedly would have been familiar with this book that God has preserved through all these generations that we read this morning together. And that is the book of Daniel. Daniel would have lived in the land that these men would have been from in the east, and they would have read this verse. Daniel 12:3. It says there, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever." Back in Daniel's day and age, back in the wise men's day and age, you didn't have GPS. Isn't GPS wonderful? I still remember the day and age where you had to look at a map and then you couldn't figure out the map, so you stopped at a gas station. I wonder what a gas station clerk would say to you today if you said, "Do you know how to get to?" You know, they don't know anymore, but they had to do that before that was part of the job. Pull in a gas station, ask for directions. "I can't find such and such street," and they'll make something up. "I'll go down there this way and then turn here, then turn there, and then go around in circles, and you'll be there." GPS, man, what a wonderful thing. What'd they use back in Daniel's day and age? What'd they use back in the wise men's day to find direction, to have a point of reference to lead them in the way that they wanted to go? They had the sun by day and they had the what by night? The stars by night. They were vastly familiar with the heavens. I mean, you wouldn't have had to travel too much. You would have had to just live in this day and age to understand different points of reference in the stars, that you could follow those stars and that you could get direction and you could go where you needed to go by those stars. And here Daniel says that they that be wise shall shine. It says that those who are wise, the Bible says that, it says he that winneth souls is wise. Paul said this, he said, I've become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. I've had wonderful privilege of leading people to Christ, and some of them are in the room this morning, and I've been given reference to before. Jack saved me. As a matter of fact, I did, man. I took him out. And you know, we laugh at that. Of course, I can't save anybody. I only can do one thing, though. I can point you to the person that can save you. I remember sitting with a young man in my office. He said, I just don't know what to do. I even come to our church for a while. He's like, I've tried to live this Christian life, and I just can't do it. I've tried, and I've struggled. And I said to him, looked him in the eyes, I said, I can tell you what your problem is. You're not saved. I said, and I can't trust Christ for you. You're going to have to trust him yourself. And he prayed. And received Christ, and I'm still contacting him. He lives out in Montana. I can't save him. But Paul said, I become all things to all men that I by all means save some. A lot of times, you know, we expect God to do the pointing for us. When the Bible says that we are to be the stars, we are to win the souls. It says in Jude, it says, but that I may with fear pull some out of the fire. I want to be the instrument to reach into somebody's life and point them to the truth. I can't hold a gun to anybody's head and say, receive Christ into your heart. Yeah, I mean, you'll pray all right. Oh, dear Jesus, with tears in your eyes, please save me. But you can be like the kid in the schoolroom that says, "What, you know, to his teacher, I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside, right? And so I can't control your heart, but I can point you again and again and again and again and again and again to the Savior. You know, here we have maybe 100 people plus here today that, you know, if we all shone brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's many coworkers who would know the way of salvation. I'm not saying they're all going to get saved, but at least there would be, they would know that there's a place that they can go to be pointed to the truth. And I tell people this before, is that, you know, if you live the way you're supposed to at work, you will become the pastor at work. They'll come to you with all their deep theological questions. You know how you answer all of them? Well, first, you got to realize that you're a sinner. Secondly, you got to realize the penalty for sin is hell. Thirdly, you got to realize that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. Heaven's a gift. You have to receive that gift as your Savior. Does that answer where Cain got his wife from? You know, come on, that was funny, folks. Anyway, and so you can be the shining star in somebody's life. Last Sunday night, and I realize the time, and so I'm almost done. But last Sunday night, we had a missionary to Puerto Rico. Fabulous testimony. He just gave us his testimony. I'm so glad he did. You know, he shared some scripture with us and just told us his testimony. But his dad was led to the Lord by somebody who was going out door to door, knocking on doors, telling people how to be saved. What a radical concept. We ought to start that here, huh? And I think, boy, I could go illustration after illustration after illustration of people that had somebody, had a star in their life that is pointing them to the truth. You know what the Bible says? It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. A lot of times we don't witness for this reason. We don't have anything to tell about. We're not saved. You know, if you were saved, I think that you'd want to tell somebody about it. You know, you don't have to go to seminary. You know, the woman at the well did not go to seminary before she told everybody in her village how she came to Christ. Did you know that? You know what a witness does? A witness just tells what's happened to you. I promise you, if I was a lost man, I had a heart attack and I had 30 seconds to live, I promise you that probably about 99% of you could tell me how to be saved in 30 seconds. You're a sinner. You have to believe on Christ. He died for your sins on the cross. You have to ask Him to be your Savior and put your trust and put your faith in Him. And why are we so ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know what Paul said? He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you are going to come in contact this Christmas season with people you might only see once a year. An aunt, an uncle, a nephew, somebody who is looking in all the wrong places for the truth. The Bible says, and it says in Corinthians, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. How dare we put our candlestick underneath a bushel? The Bible, the Lord says, ye are the light of the world. He says, put that candlestick in the window that would shine brightly and be a guiding light. Daniel says, a guiding star that people might come to the truth. Tell people what you know. They're going to laugh at me. Of course, they've always laughed at Christians since Cain and Abel. Okay? And they will all the way till Jesus comes back. And then after that, there's not going to be any more laughing. But go ahead and shine a light. You know, it's in a dark world. Wow, it's a really hard day and age to witness. It ain't going to be any harder than this day and age. I got news for you. Where they're killing the infants. The day that Jesus Christ was born into is not a harsh day. Let me tell you something about this. I'm done. Wednesday night. We have a candlelight service. We just make it up. I don't know exactly how to do one, but we make it up and we have a lot of fun. And so we have one candle, and that represents Jesus, okay? Because He is the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Then He says, ye are the light of the world. You have a candlestick. And you know, here's how we do our candlelight service. Do you think we leave all the lights on when we light the candles? No. If the world is dark, here's my point. If the world is dark, you know what that's only going to make your candle do? Shine brighter. Let your light so shine. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Lord, I pray that You'd help us. Lord, I pray that at this time, this invitation time, that us believers would just go to You for strength and help and wisdom, just to be the witness that You would have for us to be. Help us to be unashamed of the gospel. The best way that we know how, Lord, help us to be a witness and a testimony to those that we come in contact with. Lord, may You please help us. And may our church just be a shining light, a lighthouse to this community. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. As the pianist plays, just by testimony of an uplifted hand, you'd say, I know for sure if I were to die and go to heaven, I have received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I could take it to the time, the place, the spot where I made the decision to trust Christ. I'm not ashamed to admit it. Would you slip up your hand this morning? All right. God bless you. If you're here, you say, I don't have peace that I am a child of God. I'm not 100% for sure if I die, I'd go to heaven. But my prayer is that I might have that peace and that confidence that I have a home in heaven. If that's your prayer this morning, would you lift up your hand? All right, God bless you. Anybody else? All right. As the pianist continues to play, altar's open. God spoke to your heart this morning. You come. Why don't you let Corey show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you can go to heaven, okay? Just use my, right through that door is my office. It'd be the most comfortable spot. Just follow him.